the faith it takes to climb out of this boat of men. Under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone, into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is. And he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The way they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do. Strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before.
Right side. Talking kinda crazy, warning us all about the end of time. So out from the crowd, I just asked him, how could God love a mess like me? Son, I'm a preacher now, but that ain't who I used to be. He said, you'll never know just how far love has brought me. You'll never know who I used to be. I've been around and I've been down to the bottom of hell and back again. I was almost out, I was at my end, but then love stepped in. I've come since the day that preacher told me about his amazing love. I was lost and alone, and the lights came on, and hope set my heart free.
Yeah. And I'm going to jump right on in there. Welcome to Watchmen for Jesus program tonight on this Saturday night for a Bible study. Tonight we're going to hit the ground running. Not too fast, so we can kind of take it slow, but not necessarily slow either. We're going to do in between here. Those joining us tonight, welcome. My name is Thomas Campbell, and this is the Watchmen for Jesus program. We'll be here for another hour and 15 minutes. Oh, I got a lot to cover. A lot to cover. Tonight, we're going to talk about power in the blood of the Lamb. Yeah, found the song too. Covered by the blood of Jesus. You know, I have several sites I go to, and I combine several commentaries, several sites, and a trust. But I still, you know, I still do three more sites and three more commentaries, more, preferably more, to get an idea of what the truth is. I mean, everybody's got a different way of, you got different tribulation periods, you got different raptures, you got all kinds of stuff. But the Bible's solid. It's just mankind's misinterpretation or direction, or they belong to religion. They like a preacher, they like a cult, they like people stubborn. And I know I'm one. And so forth, and everybody's a darn expert, and so forth and so on. Wisdom, I believe, goes along with knowing what you don't know, and then knowing where to go to find it. Boy, I hope you got that, because I couldn't say that again if I had to. But in any case, it's knowing that you just don't know, and knowing where you can go to get it. Well, I did say it twice, didn't I? Family, let the Holy Spirit guide you, not man. Not preacher, not family, not religion, not country, nothing but the Holy Spirit to guide you. That means you got to become born again. You got to become born again by the precious blood of God, of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. That's very important. The point is, several of the sites I've been to say that the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ, being covered by the blood of Jesus, is not in the Scriptures. And these are some sites that I have used in the past and balanced out that worked out really well. Well, I've got several now that say, well, no. And clearly it is in the Bible. Clearly. So it just boggles my mind at times that you say, well, this is a good site, this is a good book, this is a good commentary. And then they come up with, well, where'd they get that from? I mean, when clearly you see being covered by the blood of Jesus in your prayers is in the Bible. It's just like, what are they thinking? That's the part that boggles my mind on occasion. Maybe you just want to write them or something, write them in a letter or something. But, you know, that's what I found out in doing the research for this very important part of the Bible, very important part of your salvation, especially in spiritual warfare, which is what you're going to go up against. Right now, people see it coming. This is what I see in my own life here and writing folks on Facebook and YouTube and all that, is that they see something coming. They feel it. You can see in their face the being disconcerted, they're fearful to a certain point, or they listen. Didn't used to listen before, but they'll listen. And then after, I don't know, 5 minutes, give or take, plus or minus, they shut down. Their mind just goes away. They go somewhere else, keep doing something, or keep watching the football, baseball, basketball, whatever game, or turn to dance into the stars and zone out. That's not going to make it go away. You see, I keep saying more than one occasion that this is for the purpose of the tribulation. To say there's a shaking coming is probably the understatement of the age of man. See, for us today, the supernatural really is only seen, for the most part, except for those that have the gifts. The supernatural is seen by the evil side. You know, by the voodoo, witchcraft, Freemasonry, those that dwell in the Ouija board and all this thing, because Satan wants to make a show. Then using technology, whiz bang, smoke, mirrors, and magicians to make a show, especially like in Project Bluebeam and all that sort of thing. We see, when you know that miracles do exist, little subtle ways. I used to say subtle. In subtle ways, you see the miracles in ways that maybe others don't see, because you know that God's behind it. So when 90%, I'm guessing here, but the majority of the population that don't dwell in the occult and don't have the gifts that, now see, God has given folks gifts to see the supernatural realm. That's why we all have different gifts. See, that's what cancels out these churches and doctrines that say you must be able to speak in tongues or you're not saved. Well, that's the biggest lie ever was. This side or the other side of the Mississippi, across the Atlantic Ocean, and keep going until it comes back around again and bites you in the butt. Because, you know, because we're all given different gifts. They say no. Well, the Bible says yes. You're not saved unless you get watered down, dunked in the water. Well, no, that's not true either. It's a sign of obedience, and you should do it. But it's not a conditioning being saved. Yet churches will say you must be dunked in the water, wetted down. Then that means, if that's true, then almost all of Roman Catholics in the millions are not ever going to be saved because they get sprinkled with water. Sprinkled. Don't get it. Dunked in the water. Not everybody is dunked in the water. Not everybody has access to the water getting dunked into it. Those criminals on that one on the side of Jesus, on the other side, Jesus didn't say, today you'll be with me in paradise. And you got to get somebody get some water on him right quick. What are they going to do, take him off the cross? And you think the Romans would actually, I mean, people have argued this with me. I said, what are you talking about? What do you think they did? Well, they could have done it. I said, could have? I said, think about what you're saying. How could they have baptized the criminal? They said, well, wait a minute, he's just been accepted by Jesus. We got to take him down now? You got to be kidding me. And you say, well, he's already dead, so then they baptize him after he's dead. Well, think about what you're saying. So that means he has never baptized. I tend to think that might have been one reason, another reason why God had this happen. See, God knows the end from the beginning. Our future is God's memory. Dedicate the broadcast. I'm anxious to get started here. Lord, we thank you tonight for being able to come together on a Bible study tonight. Very important lesson, Lord, to learn about the enemy and learn about the salvation, learn about the blood of Jesus in one night. Lord, we call upon you to touch us all with the Holy Spirit, to give us knowledge, discernment, wisdom, to share, to understand. Lord, we pray for our brethren. We pray for our family members. It's in the hospitals. It's in the rest homes and those that, Father, that's had to deal with these vaccinations and all these things that's going on today. Father, we know it's an attack. Father, we need your Holy Spirit and your supernatural power to override all these chemicals and vaccines and all these this false doctrine that, Lord, that people just don't know what's going on. And, Father, we need your Holy Spirit to give us there. Set divine appointments that, Father, we can share. Father, we call upon you to cover us with the blood of Jesus this week. And, Father, give us discernment and wisdom. And, Father, we can share the truth and understand also ourselves about the true gospel. Father, we know the demonic attacks are going to increase. And, Father, that's why we pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And, Father, we plead with you, Father, that precious, uncorruptible blood of Jesus over myself, over ourselves, those that are praying to you silently now, their families and our families and everything that belongs to us. Father, we also ask that you send down those giant warrior angels and to be loosed from heaven to surround and protect us, Father. And as your war club and weapons of war, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to break down and undam and blow up all the walls of protection around all these witches, warlocks, wizards, Satanists, the Illuminati, and all the like. And Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to break the power of all their curses, their hexes, their vexes, spells, charms, their fetishes, their psychic prayers, their psychic thought, all witchcraft, the sorcery, magic, voodoo, and all mind control. And Father, those jinxes and potions, bewitchments they have, the death and destruction they cause, the sickness and pain, the torment, the psychic power, the psychic warfare, and to break up all those prayer chains. And everything else being sent my way, our way, or a family member's way, Father, return it and the demons to the senders right now and back to them sevenfold and bind it to them by the blood of Jesus. And Father, we pray that these lost souls, that they'll find the light of your Son, Jesus, and that their own snares and traps have been set against themselves. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we ask they be loosed from all the mind control of Satan. And Father, we also ask that you bind the Holy Spirit to their hearts, and this to serve as a guide to your Son, Jesus, so they may be set free from the bondages of Satan. In Jesus' name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, we've gotten into all our lives, or at least I guess I have, I can't speak for everybody, you get into a ritual of going to church. You find the right seat. You got to sit in the right seat. Hey, you, that's my seat. How about moving over? You know, we sit in the same seats every church for the past 20 years or 10 or whatever. We get in this ritual. Sometimes you learn how to sit properly, so you prop your chin up against your chest and you kind of nod. Somebody gives you an elbow. Wake up, man. Then you get used to the same songs, and here comes the plate or the basket or the something or another, and you know you're going to put money in the plate, and you got to do that, you know. You don't want to be embarrassed. So you put something in there, and then hold it up high enough so everybody sees it. Ho, up, kind of like a U shape, like upside down U. Ho, you see, I got it, and there it goes in, and sit back like you did something. Makes you feel better that everybody saw it. The tithing, 10%, is a lie they're telling you today. I've talked about this before. One day the Sabbath is also another lie. Jesus Christ fulfilled the fourth commandment. He is the fourth commandment. Jesus Christ is the Sabbath rest. 7 days a week. Not Saturday, not Sunday. That was for the Jews back in those days, before Jesus came around. And the tithing, 10%, to tell them, you will put 10%. You will come to church on these days for the Sabbath. That was the Old Testament, the old law. When Jesus died, was resurrected, he fulfilled all that. Didn't eliminate it. No. It didn't eliminate it at all. It increased it. Because the Holy Spirit is in you, wasn't in you before the Old Testament or before Jesus Christ. You did a sacrifice of an animal in anticipation of the Messiah. That was then. When Jesus went down to hell for 3 days to proclaim and preach to the saints in paradise, And it's seen in that gulf between paradise and Hades and Sheol. The ones in Hades and Sheol could see across the chasm the Savior. There he is. Look, there he is. Jesus. Jesus couldn't hear them. He couldn't pay attention because they already were in hell. Well, that's another debatable subject, whether or not hell is a future term or it was in Hades and Sheol. That's debatable. But paradise was there. Moses, David, all of them that had sacrificed animals for their salvation in preparation for the coming Messiah were waiting, but in paradise. Now, I can't imagine what it was like. But they're waiting in paradise. And there's a big gulf between paradise and Sheol and Hades, where all the Old Testament ones sent to hell were living, being tormented. They just were. Sorry. You know, that's the way it was. And that gulf, and then paradise, where all the Testament saints were, they weren't in heaven. But they were in paradise, another part. So when Jesus died for 3 days, went down to preach then, here I am. He preached to them. Now you're going up. And they went up. He came back for 40 days and ascended into heaven. And here come the Holy Spirit. Now it's been fulfilled. It is finished. It is finished. It is finished. From then on. Don't worry about, you know, the tithing 10%. That's a church-made doctrine. That's denying Jesus. Oh, yeah. Can you imagine what I'm saying right here? Do you understand what the implications of what I'm saying? But this is scriptural, too. But 99% of churches, I don't know if they're just misled and don't know, or they know it and they're just going along with this facade. You mean I don't have to give money? No, it didn't say that at all. It's the Holy Spirit inside you now that the Old Testament saints didn't have. Remember, God spoke to Moses. God spoke to them almost audibly. When Jesus Christ was on the earth, you had to walk and go where Jesus was. And then the Holy Spirit came down. Oh, he's inside you. Man, there's nowhere you can't hide unless you turn yourself inside out. And that ain't going to happen. That's ridiculous, but you got the idea. You see? So, when David, for example, committed adultery and sent the husband of Bathsheba to the front lines to die and then take his wife, that was bad. David was a bad boy at times. But then the sacrifice of an animal for that year was that redemption of sort. But he wasn't saved yet till Jesus Christ came down and preached to them all. You see? Now today, after the Pentecost, from then on, just by looking upon a woman in lust, just looking, desiring, you've committed adultery as if you already did. Or, man, I wish I had that money. I just stole that money. I just coveted the money. See, Satan knows this. He knows how this works. So there's nothing left out. It's gotten tighter. See, nothing left out. It toughened it up. You see what happened? And so you're convicted at that moment by the Holy Spirit right then. And there is your sacrifice of an animal, which is no longer a sacrifice of an animal. But God's saying, I'm inside you. And I'm going to convict you. Now, how many people are not born again, but they're good people, right? You know, you do good deeds and all that. But no, I'm not going to steal that. I'm not going to do that. God shouldn't have to do it. That's the Holy Spirit telling them. So God is there with them. But before they go to heaven, they got to repent of all sins they've ever done. If they can't remember, they just lump it together. But God's going to remind them. He's going to show them the worst sin. And they're going to remember, oh, yeah, I remember I should have. He's going to give them opportunity to repent. Holy Spirit, what got him in that path? That's where that prayer, the last prayer we say, it's got it in there. Talks about it. God doesn't tempt us, but he tests us. He allows temptation. But he tests and trials, gives us trials and tribulations to strengthen you. See, so every second, and some of these preachers know this, the TV folks know this, seven areas. I'm not going to go into all that right now, although we'll touch upon it tonight a little bit, but, and I have a plan, but I see my mind's going other, I let God guide me. I'm not a theologian, but I'm virtually 95%, 98%. I'll let Jesus, let the Holy Spirit guide me. And I'm no different than anybody else. He knows what I don't know. I don't even remember what I've said on occasion. I get all nervous before I do a Bible study or a broadcast. And I got things lined up and all this. And people know me that's been with me for 3-4 years. They know I go, phew. I start talking about A, and all of a sudden, phew, go B. To some of the subject, I'm on a roll, and I don't know how I got there, but I just keep going. Can you tell me what you said? I said, well, no, I can't. I have to go back and listen because I don't remember sometimes because I'm led in a different direction. It's not coming from me. I'll leave it at that. I don't talk a lot about that. It's private, but I'm not going around saying, well, I'm an apostle or I'm a prophet, and I don't get into all that stuff. I don't, you know. I just let my heart go, and I just start talking. That's it. You know, I don't see myself as special at all, not even remotely. Whatever I can do, anybody can do. You just got to be open to it, open to the Spirit, which anybody can do. Anybody can do it. Anybody. Satan knows, and he's worked through 90% of preachers, rabbis, and priests, and popes, and, oh yeah, you heard me right, and all kinds of leaders and bishops, apostles, and the day I start coming out, said, I'm Apostle Tom, we're going, man, you got to leave. You say, man, Tom, what are you talking about? Now, if I argue the point, you just got to say, well, Tom, it's been nice knowing you, and you got to leave. You got to stop listening to me. I'm Bishop Gamble. You better get going, because my mind's gone. When you start raising yourself up with titles and all this other nonsense and stuff. I'm just an old sinner. And I'm just teaching from the sins I've committed and where God just leads me like he could anybody else. You know, I've heard like Arnold Murray say, you don't have to read the Bible, just listen to me. That's exactly what a cult does. A cult. Well, that's a Freudian slip. A cult or an occult. Really not much difference at all. I'm dead serious. I'll lead you the right way. Really. When you start saying that, get going. Because I can make a mistake. All humans can. And I expect people to challenge it. If I'm wrong, I want that to happen. But you start giving yourself titles and wearing Nehru jackets and all this other sort of thing. Man, there's something going on there. It's not right. I'm going to tell the truth. Sometimes I can be mistaken. And you should never, never just take one person's word for anything. But you sure can the King James Bible. Because those men, 47, were led by the Spirit of God. God protected his word. God led those 47 men and King James. My opinion is England during that period of time was one of the last real benevolent governments, and that's because God had a plan. From then on, I don't know of any government ever, before or after, ever. Now, to think about it, not in the history of man. Maybe King David, I suppose, but then he pulled off some little sneakies. But now that you think about it and look in history, I can't think of a real benevolent government ever. Except for during the period of time of King James. And God protected King James. The storm in 1588 sunk the entire Spanish Armada, with exception of 60 ships out of 137. Then the British guns took care of the rest, English guns. to make sure about 15 years later, King James would become king. He was a Christian man. So, and you've got these TV things. I'm going to stop here on this and get into what we're going to talk about tonight. But one thing that just popped in my head, for example, this article. And we got all this stuff going on today. Starvation and around the world, you know, all this and disasters and vaccinations is killing people and all this, that, and the other. And all this sort of thing. And here we got an article, Friday, January the 10th. A major article says, parents, worst nightmare. Kids are jealous of teen mom stars. You got to be kidding me. Man, you got to be kidding me. Leave my big toe alone and quit pulling it. Parents, worst nightmare. Kids are jealous of your teen mom stars. See how Satan works in the entertainment business? Jealousy, envy, you got it? Gluttony. Hot dog eating contests and pie eating contests. I know that sounds crazy, but those are rituals. Think about it for a minute. Spring break, hot dog, all that you can eat. Ready, go! Or chicken wings and all that's cute, isn't it? Yeah. But these are rituals. Celebrating sins that we're told not to perform in. Gluttony. I just realized that some time ago, but I said, wow, it's right in our face every day. I'm not splitting hairs. This is exactly what it's for. Abortions are for child sacrifice. They mask it in politics and morality. Financial, etc., but the reality of it is it's like the Mayans, and they're trying to legalize it for that very reason only. Some doctors and nurses and other folks, they know because they're part of Wicca, or Freemasonry, highest level. And they know it's for child sacrifice to bow. That's the bottom line of abortions. Covered by the blood of Jesus. Psalms 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that saith in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. It took a lot of them to read this and understand what I just read. Psalms 2, verse 1, because that's exactly what's going to happen. That's why when people say we're caught and we're in a lot of trouble, no, they are. That's why you got to pray for them. Oh, they're going to cause us a lot of trouble. But this quote right here, this Psalms 2, verse 1, is why they have not already had a new world order. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. God changes the frequency vibration for their electronics, their Hadron Collider, etc., etc. God's way ahead of them. And they haven't figured that out yet, why they can never make deadlines. How come they already have not had a new world order? It's not time yet. In due time. It's in God's time. Nobody else's but God's. And yet they still keep on. Well, the reality is, the supernatural realm is the reality. It's not the natural world. If you go to 1 Peter, First Peter 3:2-2. In 1 Peter 3:2-2, it says, "Who is gone into heaven is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." What are we talking about here? The hierarchy of angels may be ranked from highest to lowest into nine orders or choirs. Choirs. A choir. They're there to do work for God. They're there to do different. It's kind of like different ranks. They have different jobs. And guess what? Satan has it set up too in the principalities, powers of darkness. In the second heaven. That's his realm. To and fro, back and forth, the second heaven to the first. Guess who's the first heaven? The world is. The earth is the first heaven. Second heaven, second gear, is the universe as we know it. The physical universe is where they reside. That's where they live right now. And they go back and forth, nothing more than just orbs of energy. That's all they are. When you see an orb before you, because God's maybe lifted the hedge, and you see an orb around you, just shout at it in the name of Jesus Christ. When you see those little demons that's going to be coming out, I don't know the timing of all this, but it's going to happen eventually. Whether the church is still here or not is debatable. I'm not going to get around to it. If it happens, there you go. It's happened in the past. Many times have been said that people have woke up and there's these little gray-looking things. That's not aliens. That's demons in physical bodies. And they shouted the name of Jesus. And they left. You have power in the name of the Jesus, in the blood of the Lamb. Not Yeshua, not Yahuwah, whatever word you can't even pronounce. Jeshua, Yahweh, none of that is going to get you there. It's Jesus. God knows the heart. There's seven principalities in the second heaven. In the third heaven, there's nine orders of angels. The seraphim. The seraphim is the highest order of the hierarchy of angels. They spend their time worshiping and praising God. And the prophet Isaiah describes them in the vision of God. He talks about it during the year that King Uzziah died. He saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face, and with two, he covered his feet. With two, he flew. And one cried to another, said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Then the next level, the second highest level, is a cherubim. Now the cherubim are powerful, majestic-like angels. They surround God's throne. You'll find it in Ezekiel 1, verse 5 and to 14, and Ezekiel 28, 12. They're depicted in the Ark of the Covenant, its guardians. You've seen this before. The cherubim. He sent the cherubim to guard Eden after Adam and Eve was kicked out. Genesis says after he drove the man out, he placed the east side of the Garden of Eden, a cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way of the tree of life. Third ranking structure. Of course, I'm getting right through this quickly, but I'm sure you all can find this other places. But thrones are the next level of angels. As the third ranking order of angels is a throne. T-H-R-O-N-E-S. They're also known as wheels. and the many-eyed ones. You can only imagine, with God's imagination and God's power of creation, what these creatures in heaven might look like, something we cannot even fathom. In doing the research, these particular angels, what I gather, is kind of like deployed like charioteers of some sort around the throne of God. Ezekiel 1:13-19, having four wings, four faces. They sparkle like the color of brass, if you will. They had the hands of a man under the wings. Their wings are kind of like joined one to the other, and they don't turn when they travel. They all went straight forward. They sound like chest, don't it? They had four faces. They had the face of a man as well as three other faces on their helmets. That of a lion, an ox, and an eagle. They moved on wheels, in the middle of wheels. You see, this has a lot to do with the vision of Ezekiel. They tried Ezekiel's wheel. That was a vision he had. It wasn't a flying saucer. They try to say Zechariah 4 and Zechariah 5 about the flying scroll. They try to tell you it's a missile. It's a nuclear missile. It's not a nuclear missile in Zechariah. With a wheel, within a wheel, it was a vision that Ezekiel saw. It was a vision. It wasn't a flying saucer, goodness gracious. And above the heads of the thrones is a likeness of the firmament, which is a color of crystal. Under there were their wings, two on each side of their bodies. The noise of the wings was like the noise of great waters. The next level, the fourth ranking structure of angels, are called rulers. Now, this is an order of guardian angels. They decide the success or failure of nations. You get that? Did you get that impact? They, through God's instruction, they decide success or failure of nations. Not the 4th of July, 1776. Not Charles May. Not Magna Carta. Not the Civil War, not mankind. We got to rise up and defend ourselves. You know, if my people will humble themselves, and you see, mankind thinks he's going to get freedom by fighting for it and all that. And all you're doing is putting one side of secret society members against the other. They're placated. We've been placated since 1776. We've never run a revolutionary war, ever, and never will. It's impossible. Americans are being placated left and right. You got all these humans called General Boykin and all these generals at white hats and all this stuff. They're traitors. They're secret society members pretending to be patriots. They're not. They're man. Man, every man is fallible. Only God. Well, who decides nations? Power of God. Is the rulers, the angels that do. That's their tasking. Romans 13. Will they ever learn? God decides it. Dominations have been described as wearing long albs or gowns reaching to their feet and kind of hitched up with a golden belt of sort and adorned with a green sole. They have these golden staffs in the right hand and the seal of God on the left. Other times they're said to hold an orb or a specter. Now, their virtues are the fifth ranking order of angels. They've been called the brilliant or shining ones. Isn't there some movies like The Shining One or something? All these movies, I tell you. These virtues are called the angels of miracles. Oh. Oh my, I just recall something. Did not Jesus say when he's going through that town of Bethany, when the woman with the issue of blood touched him, and Jesus stopped, say it in Luke, I felt virtue leave me. Wow, I just thought of that. That means he had powers over angels then. The angel knew that woman touched his robe, and the virtue left, that proves he's God also. Because no human being would have a virtue angel along with him, supernaturally. A virtue left him when that's what happened. I felt virtue leave me. That means the angel went inside her, or not inside her, but an angel went to her and gave her a miracle. That's how it happened. That's what he's talking about. That's the virtue. He's talking about an angel. Son of a gun. They're particularly involved with people struggling with their faith, and virtues have been said to be the chief bestower of grace and valor. And actually, the two angels at the ascension of Jesus were traditionally believed to be in the order of virtues, usually represented in a group. They're called the angels of miracles, virtues. Now, the sixth ranking order of angels are the powers. Ephesians, powers of darkness, angels of darkness, LIB. And the powers in heaven, they're equal to names, but not in power, actual power. But the powers are angels of the sixth ranking order of angels. Now, they're credited with being the first order of angels created by God. They're responsible for maintaining the border between heaven and earth, acting as kind of an elite guard, if you will. And they watch for demonic attack. They're the major line of defense in battle during the heavenly warfare. And we're not talking Battlestar Galactica. It's their duty to protect this world from infiltration of demons. They protect our souls from these evil beings and act as ministers of God who avenge evil in the world. You know, people also, some theologians believe that at death, the powers guide our transition to heaven. The warring angels we pray for. Now you have on the seventh ranking order of angels, the principalities. Well, you see, even heaven has its principalities. So Satan copies God. Principalities or princes are the seventh ranking order of angels. The principalities considered to be guardians over the nations and leaders of the world. Theologians believe that they're given more freedom to act than the lesser angels below them. They're primarily responsible for carrying out divine acts concerning areas of jurisdiction. Satan also has his general level structure and fallen angels in control of every continent. And they don't just fly around and trade off continents. You understand? They have an assignment. They have colonels. They have majors. They have little foot soldiers, which are demons. And the names are lust, adultery. These are names of demons. It's not just an act. It's how your energy is affected by these demons and how they come into portals. Now, you all that my regular listeners, you know how that I've talked about this before. These sins are the names of demons. Demons are nothing more than specks of light. The fallen angels cast out of heaven in the second heaven are orbs of energy. That's the orbs people keep talking about on the YouTube and all that. Changing colors all the time. Like floating around disco balls or whatever. Those are fallen angels. And they have to keep moving, changing frequencies all the time, and they get caught in a vortex. I'm not going to go there. Well, that goes too far. But that's why they got to keep moving, changing their frequency. They get caught in a vortex. They get stuck in the abyss, and it takes a lot of energy to get them out. That's where a lot of your disasters come from, by the way. They need that life energy and force to come out of the abyss. It's another story. It's about quantum physics and biology and so forth. Chemistry and physics. And it's not philosophy or religion. This is quantum physics. Now, it's from this order, the principalities or princes, that the angel who aided David in his task of slaying Goliath was thought to have come by some theologians. And finally, they are given the task of managing the duties of the angels. Principalities have, on more than one occasion, been described as being dressed in soldiers' uniforms with golden girdles. Now, the eighth ranking order of angels are archangels. For example, and comparatively, you have an Archangel Michael in the New Age movement. It's not the same Archangel Michael that's in heaven. They got always got a copy, don't they? But the real Archangel Michael is believed to be the highest ranking warring angel in God's heavenly host. And in the end times, this Archangel Michael, he's going to be playing a special role, which is yet to come. For the Lord himself shall come from heaven with a loud command, and the voice of the archangel, with a trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Some people mistakenly think that's one of the trumpets of the seven trumpets of the second half of the tribulation, but it's not. It's a different trumpet call. You know they're actually trying to mimic the trumpets through harp? They're practicing with that. And after this really happens, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's not post-tribulation. When is it? Nobody knows when. So we who will be with the Lord forever. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. So, even as powerful as the Archangel Michael will be, he does not keep to his proper domain. Jude 1:6. He does not overexert his authority. And that's over his adversary, which is Lucifer. They try to copy this around with TV and movies and all that sort of thing in all kinds of weird ways. They had in one, was it a Bible series with something of an angel? Was it the woman that came up with that ridiculous series of showing Sodom and Gomorrah where the angels were like ninja warriors or something? You got to be kidding me. Touched by an Angel, that group of people made that series, was it called the Bible or something? Oh my gosh. So the angels, they really add to it, don't they? Ninja angels in that series on TV. I didn't see it. I saw some YouTube presentations of it, and I'm glad I didn't see the stupid movie. They massacre it. It's unbelievable what they do. A little tricky, very tricky, Hollywood. But even the Archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, he didn't dare bring a slanderous accusation against him. He said, "The Lord rebuke you," Jude 1:9. So when people come around here with these prayers and stuff and say, "I bind you, Satan," and I'm like, "Huh? You bind him. No human's going to bind Satan." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" Even the Archangel Michael rebuked Satan in the name of Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. He didn't say, "I, Archangel Michael, rebuke you." He didn't do that. Jude 1:9, He had to use Jesus' name. Man, we're not even graduation yet. We're still going through boot camp here in the first heaven, humankind are. We're not graduated here on earth. Only Jesus Christ is our power through him. He's the one. We don't do it. We're not there yet. But ultimately, Scripture says he will prevail over Satan. Because remember, God's behind him. Revelation 12, verse 79. So now, Archangel Gabriel, he's the highest ranking messenger who brings special messages to God's people. So you have him bringing messages to, Daniel, to reveal future events to him. And this is not uncommon because you hear about like Ellen G. White, who had talked to two supernatural beings from Saturn. That be the fallen angels. You've got avatars. You've heard me talk about before. I'm going to talk about it next week. They have a similar, it's kind of similar in all the supernatural realm. Being overshadowed, channeled. A fallen angel talking through a human being. Well, this is how they do it. Daniel 8, verses 16, and Daniel 9, verses 21. So, Gabriel went to Zacharias regarding the birth of John the Baptist in Luke 1, verse 19, and to Mary to announce the birth of Jesus, Luke 1, verse 30. Nowhere have I heard that Archangel Michael came down in a UFO. You just don't touch that with a 10-foot pole, do they? And Archangel Michael didn't come to either one of them as an orb. He came down as a full-bodied angel, like the two in physical form in Sodom and Gomorrah. They visited Joshua. Lot. When he visited Lot. Come on in and eat. Oh, these guys out here, don't mess with the angels. These weren't ninja angels, though. They caused the men in the village to be blind. Walked right through them. Not slinging swords either. Didn't have to. Entertain strangers unaware, for they may be angels. Angels can take physical form. They can procreate. Genesis 6:4. Sons of God were fallen angels that procreated with the daughters of man, created babies. That's pretty physical, I'd say. And they weren't the sons of Seth. That's ridiculous. It's impossible. Job 38, verse 7 proves that the sons of God of the Old Testament were here before the creation of the earth. So they couldn't be sons of Seth. When one of those preachers out there say that the sons of Seth are the sons of God of the Old Testament, bring that one up and watch them squirm a little bit. They avoid that like a plague, that verse, 38:7, Job 38:7. Yeah, they try to tell you that the sons of God of the Old Testament were the sons of Seth. That's impossible. Now, your guardian angels is the last order of angels. They're believed to be ministering angels and sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation. Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Unquote. So, within these orders of angels, only archangels and angels, the lowest category of the hierarchy, are pretty much traditionally said to interact with man and women, of course, in the course of daily life. Some cases are reported that angels serve only as a messenger, but in others, the angel lingers in visible form. They take responsibility for the well-being of individuals in trouble and guarding them from harm and offering them sustenance or leading them out of danger. And nowadays, they're still busy ministering to us, even today. Nothing's changed. So you've got seraphim, in order. Cherubim. A lot more information about those. I just gave you an idea. Thrones. Dominions or dominations. The choir. Virtues. The powers. Principalities, archangels, angels, and that's your order. Now, in the second heaven, above the earth, prince of power of the air, is Satan. Under the earth are lower level demons. And then when we go to certain places, like you want to get a seance, or you want to go into get your cards read or something like that. You've given permission for the demonic realm to demonize you or come inside you, literally. So when I walk into, say, oh, I'd Lily. Oh, yeah, you see that? Oh, yeah, she's a crystal ball reader. Let's go watch. Oh, that'd be cute. All right. When you enter inside that tent, that room, that building, whatever it is, for that purpose, you've given permission for those demons to act upon you. When you go by, and I mean this literally, one of those pink, oh, they got pink now, pink. It's like having a pink 357 Magnum. They got a pink 22 rifle. Can you imagine a pink? Well, a pink one will kill you just as much as a green one or a black one would. Weapon. They got a pink Ouija board. A pink one. I guess that's supposed to make it better, right? Isn't that tricky? I mean, how dangerous can a pink Ouija board be? Very dangerous, because the color doesn't make a lick of difference. It's still evil. Ouija board, those things work. They're supernatural. The symbols are nothing more than evil signs, no matter what they are. The pentagram, the star, the pentagram, the hexagram. Well, not if you really don't want it to be. Say what? Well, yes, it is. It was before mankind ever came around. These symbols, somehow or another, through quantum physics, has an effect with ritual among the portals and frequency vibration of objects. That's why they use the pentagram, the hexagram, that's the Star of David, for ritual sacrifice and blood sacrifice, open up portals. These symbols, geometric figures, positions of stars and all this, that, and the other, helps open up portals. That's what that's for. And you say, well, my intention wasn't to use it. It doesn't matter. It is what it is. That means we need to be knowledgeable of using these things. And just because our intentions aren't to use it for evil, but for decoration, it's no excuse at all. Because it, in fact, does attract demonic entities. It did that long before. It's real. You say, well, it's a blank weapon. No, it's got a real bullet in it. The cross is an X. The cross is, in fact, a symbol of torture and death. It's not about... We've been so fooled. Wow. The cross is representative not of Jesus Christ. He's off that thing. That tortured him. I mean, think about it. Reverse it. What about the cross, really, is about God. That's where they tortured him. I mean, they've got us looking at it from a different perspective. We've been so fooled. Whew, Lord have mercy on me, oh my. We've been so fooled in our lives. From the day we're born in church and all that. And thinking the cross is representative of Jesus. No, it's not. The Holy Spirit inside you is, yeah. But not the cross. Wow, I just thought something else. How about in the movies? You see the old vampire. What do you do? Oh, man, I got something to tell you. Woo-hoo! What do you have in the movies? You hold up the cross. Shit, and it goes back. Ah, the cross. We've been so fooled all along. A stake in the heart. Holes in mocha. Oh, man. Now, the more I think about this, it's amazing what stuff comes out. I never thought about this before. They'll say, I must kiss the crucifix. Crucifix can't help you. It is death. It's not Christ. And yet we're taught that. You know, translated into English, I-N-R-I means it's just to exterminate or annihilate impious or heretical kings and governments or rulers. The crucifixion of Jesus brings forgiveness and a life, but the crucifix is a Jesuit symbol for vengeance and death. That's what it is. Man, you tell that to some people these days, they're going to tar and feather you. But in reality, that's what we've been fooled to thinking, that it was something of God, and it's not. I remember I was in college, and I was, going to all that. But this is how we've been so conditioned. This kind of pops in my head how we're conditioned. And I was a football player, and I had another guy as a football player. I remember his name, too, Gaines. And it was on a Halloween night, and we were going to scare some of these geeks. I know. We did. And there's one in particular. He's a good old guy, but we're going to get him. So about 3 o'clock in the morning, we knocked on his door. And Gaines, he was a middle linebacker. And he's dressed up like a vampire. You understand? And I had something on. I forgot what it was. That's before I was born again. And, he was scary looking. I'm going to tell you right now. So we knocked on the door at 3 in the morning. And this hippie guy, this is 1972, 73, came to the door. What is it? What is it? And when he got to the door, Gaines went, like that, and the guy freaked out. Man, he started doing the backpedaling, fell over his bed, rolled up, was scrambling, and went to get his crucifix. I swan him, he did. He held it up and was screaming. He didn't get over it for 3 days. His first initiation was to grab that crucifix. We've been so conditioned in our lives with all this stuff. Holy Spirit relies within you. No idol object is going to save you. But you're saved by the blood of Jesus. And this is what it's going to come down to. Right now, those of you that's doing Bible study on your own or whatever, you're way ahead of the ball game. People don't want to hear these things anymore. And preachers, for the most part, aren't teaching it. The blood of Jesus remits sin, Matthew 26:28. It gives life to those who consume it, John 6:53. It causes us to dwell in Christ and He in us, John 6:56. It is the means by which Jesus purchased the church as a ransom. The church has nothing to do with religion, nothing to do with four walls, nothing to do with anything but where two or more are gathered in His name. That's it. Acts 20:28. It is the means by which Jesus becomes our atonement through faith. Romans 3:25. It justifies us and saves us from wrath. That's very important to know. Romans 5:9. The wrath would be that from God. It redeems us. That's really important. Ephesians 1, verse 7. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 to 19. And Revelation 5, verses 9. And it brings those who are far away from God near to Him. You'll find that in Ephesians 2, verse 13. You know, when I was doing research on this, and I read in some what I thought, well, and they are pretty accurate websites and other theologians that said that the blood of Jesus is not in the Bible. I'm like, what? And here I'm, clearly, it is. I don't know. You know, it grants us the forgiveness of sins, the blood of Jesus does. Colossians 1, verse 14. It brings peace and reconciliation to God. Colossians 1, verse 20. It has obtained eternal redemption for us. You find that in Hebrews 9, verse 12. The blood of Jesus cleanses our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Hebrews 9, verse 14. It is a means by the blood of Jesus that we can enter the most holy place with boldness. He ripped that curtain from the top down. Hebrews 10, verse 19. It speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Hebrews 12, verse 24. Very, very importantly, the blood of Jesus sanctifies us. That's probably number one. You find that in Hebrews 13, verse 12. It makes us complete for every good work. You can't do a good work until you do it in the blood of Jesus to become born again. Then your good works are fruits of your efforts. Hebrews 13, verses 20-21. Right on up there, it cleanses us from all sin. Now, that's probably number one right there. 1 John 1, verse 7. First John 5, 7 tells you only in the King James that the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost are all one. And Word, the Word is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. And the Word's the King James Bible, the only one in existence since the dawn of man. Well, what did they do before that? They were writing it, being inspired. What about after that? Well, it's kind of put away, and they have something called the Dark Ages. That's what? Till it finally came out, that's when technology. Isn't that something? Same time that the Word of God came out of the Alps, Erasmus, Textus Receptus, laid the groundwork for the King James later. And then King James grabbed all of it, Hebrew. Well, not King James, but the translators, Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, Latin, and English. And the King James stands alone of all of them. And that is a fact that can be proven. Boy, they don't like that. When someone says, well, I use other Bibles, and the King James, really good Bible. It's got really poetic and all this, and I really love it. But you got to read, there comes that but. And I ain't talking about Bertha. Here comes that but. But, you know, you really got to read the original. That's all that's nonsense. And script, copy-paste, cookie-cutter. responses they get from schools of theology. Bananas, baloney is what it is. You got to get the older versions. There isn't any that's of the King of the true Word of God. They don't have any. There isn't any. Well, I say challenge them. Which Bible do you use? They'll never tell you. They give it two or three and try to cover it over. Because every one of them they tell you, you can trace it to its origin. No pun intended, of course. But you can trace it to its origin. That eliminates it as a Bible source. Every time. You say, well, the King James is 1611. Uh-huh. But what's the King James? It goes back to what? The Textus Receptus. What does it go back to? The copies of the originals, which came to the original authors. And that came from where? God himself, Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit. Who's the creator of the earth, the universe, and the heavens? God is. So that means his solemn word is in the King James Bible. Given to man, transcribed, translated. And which one? Cambridge edition. It's getting smaller. Of choices. That takes it back to the creation of man, the King James does. Because that's the solemn word of God. God's the creator. It's very simple, actually. All the others come from Origen, a Greek philosopher, in the 4th century. That's where they all come from. Every single one. No exception whatsoever. All of them. Every Bible, 300 some, come all from Origen, a Greek philosopher. Is the origin of all the Bibles we have today, except the King James. It's that simple. The blood of the Lamb, covering the blood of Jesus, it bears witness in the earth along with the Spirit and the water. 1 John 5, verses 8. It's the means by which Jesus washes us. Revelation 1, verse 5, and Revelation 7, verse 14. And is a means by which we overcome the accuser of the brethren. There's your weapon. It's the blood of the Lamb. That's pretty important. Revelation 12, verse 11. So we can thank God for the precious blood of Christ. The sprinkled blood of Christ, the blood of the new covenant, the blood of the eternal covenant. 1 Peter 1, verses 19. Hebrews 12, verses 24. Luke 22, 20. And Hebrews 13, verses 20. In Leviticus 17:11, life is in the blood. How some of these people can say that covering the blood of Jesus is not in the Bible, I just have no idea. Because I just gave you all a whole host a scripture that proves it is. But somehow they don't get it. I don't understand it. How they can say that. If y'all ever figure that out, send me an email. Because I don't understand where they get it from. So finally, why was it the sacrificial system required a blood sacrifice? Why? Well, in the whole of the Old Testament, every book pretty much points toward the great sacrifice as yet to come. That's what it was all set up for before Jesus came. And that was him giving of his own life. 365 prophecies. 365 in the Old Testament. And those that's not been fulfilled are those in the yet to happen in the end of times, Revelation. In Leviticus 17:11 is the Old Testament, of course, about the significance of blood in the sacrificial system, Leviticus, the Levites. God, when he talked to Moses, declared for the life of the creatures in the blood. And I've given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It's the blood that makes atonement for one's life. What do they do today? Sacrifice of children and animals. And I've heard tell of avid hunters that when they get the first kill, they drink the blood of the deer or whatever. Or it's that soul something. It's in the blood or something like that. You know, a sacrifice is defined as the offering up of something precious for a cause or for a reason. In the witchcraft, family, this is not pleasant to say, but, and we're talking nurses that are Wicca, doctors, we're talking others that are in a witchcraft. They know about drinking the blood of an infant will give them immortality or at least extend their life longer. To the point that, well, you can imagine what I'm talking about here. It gets really bad. They really believe that. An innocence. Unblemished. They take it a step further. God said, I've given to you the creature's life which is in the blood to make atonement for yourselves, covering the offense you've committed against me. So, in other words, those who are covered by the blood sacrifice are set free from the consequences of sin. So the Israelites did not know of Jesus per se. They just knew a Messiah was coming. They didn't know he had to die on the cross on their behalf. He thought he would come riding here on a white horse and save him with a flaming sword. Ooh, that's coming later. That's the end of the Daniel's 70th week. Not happened yet, by the way. Calvinists, preterists. Not here yet. We're not even the first seal yet. But the many blood sacrifices, the Passover, all that, throughout the Old Testament, were foreshadowing the true and the once for all sacrifice to come, so the Israelites would never forget that. Without the blood, there is no forgiveness. So, the shedding of blood is a substitutionary act of sort. So, you go into Leviticus 17:11. It really could be read either the blood makes atonement or the cost of the life, the animal's life, or makes atonement in the place of the life, the sinner's life, when Jesus Christ being the one giving life through his shed blood on the cross and water. I have kind of a presentation. I call it blood and water. That I've given before, talks about that specific. When the soldier stabbed Jesus in the side with that spear, water and blood came out. There's a teaching on that that I've given before. Hebrews 9, verses 11 to 18, it confirms this symbolism of blood as life, and it applies to Leviticus 17:11. And this is applied to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's power in the blood. If you go to verse 12, it states the Old Testament blood sacrifices were temporary. And they only atoned for sin only partially and for a short time. So that was the need to repeat the sacrifices every year. You see? That's why Jesus had to go down into hell. But into paradise. Now, these like Joyce Myers and Copeland as Freemasons and all those in TBN and others, T.D. Jakes and Brazier and Copeland and Hagen and all these people say that Jesus Christ went to hell, suffered, was punished, is a lie from the pit of hell. He proclaimed his body saw no corruption. When he said it's finished on the cross, that's exactly what that meant. It's finished. Done. His suffering was on the cross, not in hell. Where do they get this from? How can they say this? They must think people don't read anything. I mean, it's not even there. It blows my mind. These people are billionaires, literally. Anyway. But you know, when Jesus Christ entered the most holy place, he did so to offer his own blood once and for all. For all time. The second Adam made future sacrifices unnecessary. He fulfilled the law. Tithing, Sabbath, he fulfilled it all. Doesn't mean you don't do it, but just through him, the Holy Spirit. It is finished is what it means. John 19, verse 30. So never again would the blood of bulls and goats cleanse men from their sin. Now you know what is the real abomination of desolation. Your Jonathan Clicks and all these people that are Illuminati say the abomination of desolation is something else. Like it's individual or something. It's not that at all. It's the Antichrist who, once he double crosses man and goes into the holy temple that's going to be rebuilt in the future, he'll stop the sacrifice of animals, which will start at the beginning of the first seal. And that's what's really going to tick off God too. When the Jews, Judaic Jews, start sacrificing animals again, and they're teaching them how to do it now, that's a slap in God's face. Now you know why it's going to allow the Antichrist to double cross the Jews in Israel. Hagee better get a handle on that one, because he's not telling the truth, or he's sadly mistaken. Because when they sign that first seal or confirm that covenant with the Antichrist, it is Katie bar the door. 7 years of tribulation are coming. Won't be no extension. Won't it be shortened? When he says that those days will be shortened, he means it won't be 8 years, it'll be seven. Not 7.5, but 7 years. If it be 8 years or more, all men will be extinguished. Those days shall be shortened. People say, well, it's going to be shortened down to 3 years. No, because you got the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven bowls. That's going to be fulfilled. God wouldn't put it in there and not it happen. He's already seen it. He's already planning it. He already knows it's going to happen. He knows what mankind's going to do. So these people say that it's going to be shortened. They're trying to, what to do is expedite the tribulation to bring in the fallen angels. It's what they're trying to do. So non Emmanuel, who is who we think Jesus really is, but he's not. So non Emmanuel is the face and the picture of the one we think is Jesus. Nobody knows what Jesus looks like. What we've been seeing all our lives, look it up on your own. Look up the ascended master, Sanand Emmanuel. Just look at him. And then look at the photos and portraits and black velvet pictures of Jesus with a lamb and tell him which one's which. The real Jesus Christ will come on a white horse with holes in his hand, his feet slit in the side, and boy, he's coming back to judge and judge hard. Right now, he's your intercessor. He's waiting for you to come to him. He's waiting for you to confess your sin and take him as your savior now while you can. Because when he comes back, when you see him in the clouds on his return at Armageddon, it is too late. If you die before then and you're not born again, it's too late. But if you're born again, you're saved by the blood of the Lamb. You're going to heaven, awaiting the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb. Those not saved, the tares, will go through the 1,000 years, millennium. At the end of the millennium, when Jesus rules on this earth, at the end will be Gog and Magog. Satan's released for a season to tempt the nations once more and final. And that is the battle of Gog and Magog, as the scriptures say. Then comes a great white throne judgment for those that rejected Jesus Christ since the dawn of man. Everybody is not judged in the great white throne, as the Masons are lied to by whomever tells them that. By the way. Only by accepting Jesus' blood shed on the cross for our remission of sins can we stand before God covered in the righteousness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in time we might become the righteousness of God. That's pretty clear. Whoa, family, we're there. It's 9 o'clock, isn't it? Well, what happened? Whew. Well, family, wow, what time is it? Oh, it is 9 o'clock, isn't it? Where have I been? Well, family, I hope you got something out of it tonight. I'll be talking about this some more down this week, next week. I'm not done talking about this. This is very important. Spiritual warfare, we'll talk about later. I also want to remind you that this broadcast and Bible studies are also being played at highpointradio.net. Highpointradio.net by John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. And his email is highpointradio@yahoo.com. And we are also on occasionally played simulcast, they call it, at KBLU Radio, Blue Raven Network. There's also a place, simulcast. That means at the same time. My website is www.watchmanforjesus.com. And just be patient with me. I think I've said this before, but I'm working on it to get it upgraded a little bit better. In the meantime, waiting for the next paradigm to take place. Spiritual warfare is what's really coming ahead. Supernatural is going to reveal itself one of these days shortly. Do not be afraid, but trust in the blood of the Lamb, because you're going to need to. You better start now. Don't mess around. And learn about spiritual warfare. We'll talk about this some next week, about spiritual warfare, about this alien lie that they're coming up with, and we'll just continue on next week, continue on. So, family, I want to end in prayer. Lord, thank you tonight that we come together in the name of your Son, Jesus. We thank you tonight for this Bible study. We come together again. We thank you, Father, for this network that you have allowed us to have. That, Lord, we continue to praise you, to worship you for our study, for our learning, sharing, and Lord, to get us prepared for this day, for the day of the Lord to come. We pray that you cover us in the blood of Jesus, Father, and our families too, in these trying times that's coming ahead, and get us ready for that day when it happens, that that will be done. We pray that you be covered in the blood of Jesus all next week, Lord. From now on, we pray every day, Lord, remind us if we miss. And keep us straight and narrow. And thank you for the trials and tribulations you give us, to give us that strength. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, we are there. And I want to tell you all to have a great evening. And enjoy tomorrow. It'll rain in some places, I know. And Monday, 4 to 6, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Monday night only, RevelationRadioNetwork.org. I have a Monday night program on RevelationRadioNetwork.org from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, in addition to the 4 to 6 broadcast on Monday. Then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights and Saturday nights, of course, 7:30 to 9 is Bible study. In addition to the Monday through Friday broadcast 4 to 6. Reminds you about the, well, I talked about the radios where we were played other places too. Family, have a great weekend. Enjoy tomorrow. And just rest in the Lord. So you'll have a great night. God bless. Guilt and my confusion disappear.
every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Good night and God bless.